were coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say or you hear somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to this Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day thus far. And we know that if you put God first, then you will have a good day. For the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things will be added unto you. So you don't have to worry. You can be happy when you are putting your faith and your trust in Almighty God. Well, we have a wonderful program today for you. Today is our day that we answer marriage questions. Yeah, this is the day that we answer marriage questions, and that's always a good day and a fun day. And so if you have marriage questions, let me get some contact information out. If you have marriage questions, you can email me at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com, or you can call me at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right, we got a couple of questions here this morning. Got some good questions here. Well, we always have some good questions here. All right, let me get my Bible here. All right, yeah, because you want some Bible answers. Amen. You want the answer out the Bible. All right, my first question says, my wife says that I don't give her much attention like we used to when we was dating. She said we need to still be dating even though we are married. Do we still have to date even though we are married? Good question. So your wife said that you're not giving her much attention. All right, and she said you need to be dating, and you wondering, do you still have to date even though we are married? Well, that's a great answer. Yes, your wife is right. You still need to be just as excited about your wife as you were when y'all was dating. See, most people go on dates, to spend time together. So it's not so much about spending money as it is spending time together. It's all about spending time together. Yeah. So don't let money be an issue. I know you, the man, sometimes he start thinking about the money, because you know, you a lot of times when you first start dating, you was trying to impress your wife and stuff like that. But the more important thing is not so much about spending money. It's all about spending time. See, a lot of times when people get married, they kind of start separating themselves somewhat, because there's a lot of different things going on. A lot of time you got the kids, a lot of time you got church, a lot of time you got work, and so you don't see much of each other. And so you have to schedule some time, and that's what I call a date. See, you need to schedule. I tell married couples all the time, you need to schedule a date night. See, you got a plan for it. You know, I often say people that fail to plan are planning to fail. Did you hear what I say? People who fail to plan are planning to fail. So if you don't really plan a night, you know, a date night, then you're not going to have a date night. So go on and put that on your calendar. Go on and put that on your calendar. You got to make some time. Just like when you was dating. If you called a girl and you wanted to take her out, and she said, well, I'm busy this week. But you wouldn't give up. You said, well, what about next week? And she said, well, let me look at my calendar for next week, and I get back with you. And then she get back with you and say, okay, well, I'm free on, you know, this weekend. So you say, okay, well, what about Friday? Then she say, on second thought, Friday not going to be good. But you wouldn't give up. You say, well, what about Saturday? And she said, okay, well, Saturday's good. So, but the bottom line is, you was persistent in trying to get a date, because you wanted to spend some time with her. So that's what you need to do. See, if you can come up with a date night, either once a week or every other week, or either just once a month, it'll do wonders for your marriage. Yes, it will. You know, my wife and I, we used to have Thursday night as our date night when our children were small. We would take them there and drop them off there at the church. There was a choir practice. There was always something going on there on that Thursday night. Then me and her, we would go and get us a hamburger or something. We would go and find, you know, one of these good hamburger places. And or either we would go to Brahms Ice Cream and get us some ice cream and stuff. So it was something simple. It wasn't nothing real big and elaborate. It was something just real simple. The bottom line was, we was just coming up with some time where we could spend some time together. We could spend some time together. Sometimes we would go to Long John Silver's or Captain D's or something like that. It's just all about just spending time. For them 2 hours, we would just spend time together, and getting her out the house, getting her out the kitchen. It wasn't about spending money. It was all about spending time. See, most men don't show much affection to their wives, but you need to spend time with your wife and enjoy your wife. Other than just in the bedroom. See, women want you to spend time with them in the living room, or spend time with them in the kitchen, or spend time with them in the laundry room. And I guarantee you, if you spend time with your wife in the living room, or help her in the kitchen, help her in the laundry room, then you'll be able to enjoy in the bedroom. Yeah. Matter of fact, notice what the Bible says. The Bible talk a little bit about this over there in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. It says, verse number 18 and 19, let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Rejoice with the wife. Rejoice. Have some fun with the wife of your youth. Just like y'all used to have fun when you was young, she's still that same person. Even though her hair may start getting gray on the outside, wrinkles may have started coming, but she's still the wife of your youth. So enjoy the wife of you. Matter of fact, I have two pictures in my office. I have a picture of a lit boy and a lit girl. And I always tell the men, inside of your wife is a little girl. Just like that lit girl right there, it's a lit girl on the inside of her. And she still just like a lit girl wants some cookies and candies and wants some attention, your wife wants some attention. Just like that lit boy, I tell him, the lady, just like that lit boy sitting right there on the wall, that picture in your husband, even though he's 6'5", there's a lit boy on the inside of him. And so you have to treat one another with tender love and care. That lit, just like that lit boy needs some love. Give that man some love. Just like that lit girl needs some love. Give your wife some love. And so that's what he's saying. Rejoice with the wife of your youth, and then let her be as a loving hinge and a pleasant robe. Let her breath satisfy thee at all time, and be thou ravished always with her love. Let me bag up verse 19 again. Let her be as a loving hinge and pleasant roe. In other words, like a little deer, like a lit deer. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing seeing a lit deer run through the woods and stuff. And you have to be very crafty to catch a deer. But deer hunters, they love to go out there in the woods and hunt deers. And they be so happy once they done caught a deer. In the same way, your wife is like a little deer. And so be excited. When y'all first started dating, you was chasing after her just like she was a deer. You was chasing. And in every movie, the most exciting scene is the chase scene. Yeah, that's the most exciting scene, is the chase scene. So get back to chasing your wife. Get back to chasing your wife. Get back to dating your wife. Remember, redo some of those things that y'all used to do. Compliment your wife, just like you compliment her when y'all was dating. Tell her that she looked good. Tell her that her hair looked good. Tell her her face looked good. Tell her that her body looked good. Tell her that dress looked so good on you. Yeah, that really looked good. Yeah, so give her compliments. Other folks gonna look at your wife and they gonna compliment her, but nobody should give her more compliments than you, man. You make sure, husband, that you give your wife compliments. You know, old folks used to say, whatever you did to get her, well, you need to do the same thing in order to keep her. So get back, get back to dating your wife. All right, hopefully that helped you. Let me move on to the next question. The next question is, my spouse and I are of a different race. My spouse is not comfortable at the church that we attend. He has found another church that is an interracial church. He now wants me to leave my church and join him at this new church. But I love my church. I have prayed on this matter, but I don't think that I have received an answer. What's your advice? Well, the problem that you are having is quite common because there's a lot of interracial couples, and that's one of the problems that a lot of interracial couples are having, is trying to find something, a church or whatever it is, something that both of them are going to be comfortable at. Because normally when they go to a situation, let's say if she's black and he's white, I don't know what this couple is, but let's just say if she's black, then when they hang around, most of her friends, and let's say most of her friends is black, or let's say that the church is black, then he's not going to feel that comfortable. Or let's say if he's white, and when he's around his white friend, then she's probably not going to feel that comfortable. So that's a common thing. That's a common thing. So I can understand your husband not feeling comfortable in your church, where the race is going to be different from him. Now, the key is not, though, you know, going to a church that is interracial, but going to a Bible-teaching church where both are comfortable. Because you can find an interracial church, and that church not teaching the Bible, and it can lead you straight to hell. So rather than leading you to heaven, it can lead you to hell. So so what you got to try to do is find a Bible-teaching church that happens to be interracial. Yeah. So your priority is still to find a Bible-teaching church. Yeah. That's still your priority. And then your second priority is to make sure that it's an interracial church, or hopefully it can be an interracial church. But the main thing is it's a Bible teaching church. See, the Bible needs to be the main thing. When you find an interracial church, just like in this case, your husband say he has found this interracial church. So I would ask him, you know, is this church a Bible teaching church? Make sure it's a Bible teaching church. Do the people go there because of the teaching of the Bible? Do they go there because that's a mixed church? Because of the people going there because it's a mixed church, that's like a black person going to a black church just because it's black, or a white person going to a white church because it's white. You want to make sure that it's a Bible teaching church. Now, if you continue to keep praying, I believe God will show you. Matter of fact, you say you've been praying, but the question I want to know, have your husband been praying? Because you say he done already found the church. So I want to know, has he really been praying? Is he being led by the Spirit, or is he being led by the flesh? Is he walking by sight, or is he walking, you know, by faith? Because you want to make sure that y'all are being led by the Lord. Because at one time y'all was happy at this other church, but your husband, you know, he's unhappy. And if there's a problem, you know, y'all might need to just go and talk to the pastor and find out. You know, if somebody stepped on your husband's toe or something, you know, find out. Because you don't want to, you know, at the same time, the devil run interference. And so you don't want the devil to pull y'all out of a good church just because it's not interracial, and then find an interracial church that's not a Bible teaching church. So that's why you're going to have to really, really be prayerful. I commend you on being prayerful But it looks like you're going to have to, you know, follow your husband, because the scripture teaches that, you know, the wife should be submissive to her husband. So go check it out. Go check it out and make sure that the church, you know, line up with the scriptures, and pray for yourself and ask God, you know, to deal with your heart. And I believe that God will bring you and your husband on one accord if y'all are really praying and seeking God. All right. Hopefully that helped you. That's a tough one, but we'll keep you in our prayers. All right, I think I got time for another question. Excuse me. My marriage is going through a storm. Ooh, sorry to hear that. Various problems are tearing our marriage apart. From money problems to kids problems, it's tearing our marriage apart. What can we do to make it through the storm? Good question. Well, don't feel like you're by yourself, sister. A lot of people are going through marriage problems, and it's not so much the marriage problem as it is various problems that's causing the marriage problem. Well, for what I recommend that you get your eyes off these problems and put your eyes on the Lord. And I'm basing that on Matthew chapter 14. Matter of fact, I'm going to read this story about the disciples was in the storm. And I believe that this story of these disciples in the storm, I think that can help you. That's Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 23. It says, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they was troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me now to come to thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, but boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Look at that verse 30 again. He said, but when he saw the wind, see, Peter was walking on the water until he saw the wind. The wind, but boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried to the Lord, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, called him, and said unto him, O thou, O little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let me just bring out a couple of things in this text here, and draw some parallelism between the disciples' storm and the storm that you're going through right now, my sister. First, know that the Lord sees you and is praying for you in your storm. Verse 23 says that Jesus went apart into the mountain to pray. Jesus knew that these disciples was getting ready to go into a storm. He knew that. He saw their storm. He knew that they was going to be going through a storm. And that's why he was up there praying for them. And just like Jesus is in heaven praying for you today, just like he was praying for his disciples in the mountain, he's praying for you today in heaven. as you're going through your storm. So be encouraged, my sister. Jesus is praying for you. Secondly, know that the Lord will come to you in your storm. Know that. Know that. Because the Bible says in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Yeah, Jesus came to them in their storm. And Jesus is going to come to you in your storm. Yeah, yeah, you just hang on in there. Then the third thing, if you look to Jesus and come to Jesus, you can walk on your storm. In other words, you can walk on the circumstances in your life. A lot of times people say, you know, you ask them, how you doing? They say, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. I always ask them, what you doing under there? What you doing under there? Listen, listen. If you know the Lord, you should be above your circumstances, not under your circumstances. And notice, Peter was walking on the water. You can walk on your storm. You can walk on them storms can be under your feet. Those situations, that marriage problem, that financial problem, those kids problem, whatever is tearing the marriage apart, whatever it is, all that stuff can go up under your feet if you keep your eyes on the Lord. And that's the fourth thing. If you lose focus, it's going to sink you. Just like in Peter's case. Peter was walking on the water, but when he took his eyes off Jesus, he started sinking. Listen, listen, if you sinking today, that's because you done took your eyes off Jesus. Get your eyes back on Jesus. And then the fifth thing, if you call out to Jesus, he won't let you sink. These circumstances is not going to sink you if you call out to Jesus. That's what you need to do. You need to call out to Jesus. And then the sixth thing, storms often stop. Listen, listen to me good. Storms often stop when Jesus is in your boat. When Jesus done got back in your boat. When Jesus is in his proper place, in other words, in your life. When Jesus get back upon the throne of your life. Yeah. Then the storm will stop. Because right now he's just trying to teach you a lesson. He's trying to teach y'all something as you're going through the storm. He's trying to teach you something. But Jesus want to be back in his proper place. He want to be Lord of all in your life. So let him have his way in your life. Get your mind off these problems and put your mind back on the Lord. And let the Lord work it out. All right, all right. Well, listen, that's going to be all for today here in the Situation Room. We hope something was said and something was done to help you with these marriage questions. And keep sending them in, y'all. Keep sending them in. All right, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLIT Bids at the top of the hour. We minister in the Word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, and it'll make you face yourself and think. And 11 o'clock, we're going to take a deeper look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, missed into these programs. Guess what? We began to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we're in your corner. Right here. In the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.